What's up, guys? It's DK. Welcome to Thorne's YouTube channel. Why are you even here, though? Didn't you know Ginger Man bad?
Right, this is going to be another episode of Reflections, and my guest for this one is going to be Taco, who is obviously a long-time player for teams like Luminosity, SK Gaming, Team Liquid, MIBR. We know all the jazz. Right, in the modern day, obviously working with 00 Nation. Right, here's where I want to start off, Taco, which is when I was doing a little bit of research, I actually found out that you and Cold Zero were even playing together way before everyone knows. You were playing together like the very beginning of CSGO, when actually at the time, no one even knew Brazil was still in CS. Like, you guys were off on the other side of the world. You weren't at the big international events. How long have you known Cold Zero? Tell me the story. How did you meet him? Was he always someone you were playing with?
Hey, Thorin. Hey, everyone watching. Thanks for inviting me. First of all, it's been a long time since I speak in English, so I hope you guys forgive me. And yeah, like I said, it's a pleasure being here. Thank you, Thorin. Well, about Code Zero, yeah, we actually have a history together. Not the one that we are famous about. I mean, playing together, getting two majors and stuff like that. Before that, we were just young guys who just got to the university. We live in different states, but we used to play together and pugs all night. So we became really close and close friends, like almost in life, but it was from far away, you know. It was only, I mean, online friendship. And we used to play a lot. And I remember that we used to actually make some Brazilian pros cry, you know, like Kogu and these guys. I remember playing against them in pugs and even deathmatch at the time. And me and Cold Zero, and they would always cry for us, like, these guys are cheating, and this is not possible. Like, how is that possible? It's not possible. This guy has, because I'm from a state in Brazil that is really far away from São Paulo, and I used to play with 70 MS, you know, my ping used to be 70, 80, so people used to cry a lot. People would be like, how is this guy with 80 MS shooting heads? Like, how is that possible? It's not possible. And that's how me and Code Zero at first got closer, you know, because we were just having fun and making people cry because we are not cheating, you know, we are not doing anything wrong. So we were okay with that. And we also used to skip the university together, like, okay, just to play CS, you know. We had the same we used to study the same thing, engineer, and the first years are so boring, and I think everyone agrees with that. And we would talk, oh man, I just want to go home and play some CS. I can't wait to go home and play CS. And we became friends, and I remember that one team called Sem Chorar in Brazil. It's actually a famous team. I mean, back in CS 1.6, they invited us for a test, and me and Code Zero, we were destroyed in the test. Like, we did really great, and but there was only one spot. They could only choose me or Code Zero, and we were like, okay, we only play together. Like, if you guys want to have one of us, it's gotta be the two of us. And they had no choice, and we joined the team, and that's how we got together. And then I traveled to São Paulo to play some LANs, and I was good online, and Kojiro was good online as well. He was actually insane, and we had to prove ourselves on LAN, and that's what we did. We went to São Paulo to play a LAN tournament, and I remember one of the Brazilian players. He's even famous, like, in the Brazilian scene. He came to us, like, before the matches, and, oh, you are Taco and you are Cold, right? I hope you guys play just like you do online. Otherwise, I don't know what's going to happen to you today. And we were just young kids. Like, I was just skinny and I was scared because, I mean, that was the first time traveling alone, you know, without my mom. and to another state and with my money. And I was actually lying to my parents. We had to lie to our parents at the time, because I could never tell my mom that I was traveling to another state, taking a 3 hours plane to play Counter-Strike. That was impossible. Like, she would send me to the hospital or stuff like that. So I had to say that I was going to play a football tournament. And Code Zero also had to lie a lot to his father, because his father, he's like this businessman, you know. He has a company and he wants his son to be a part of his company and to take charge when needed, and you know. And but Code, he just wanted to play CS, and he had a really hard time with his parents, and he also had to lie a lot. Of course, nowadays, as everybody knows, his family supports him and even go to every tournament, and his mom and his dad is always there. But at the time, we had to lie a lot. Like, we had to keep playing CS, we had to lie. So that's why I think my history with Code, that's when I think my history with Code begins. And that's why we kind of had this friendship since the beginning of everything, because I feel like we had to go through a lot of stuff together, you know, just because our lives were similar at the time.
Right. People have always obviously associated you with Cold Zero. I noticed, particularly because obviously there was the later years where you left and you were in Team Liquid, and then your game was still going really well. His was still very, he was still a very good player, but he wasn't the number one player in the world. And so you reunited later, right? Is this something where, do you actually think in the game, was it just natural the way you two play together? Have you guys ever actually, like, is there a level of thought that's gone into the way you play? I mean, I'll give you the example. It's not, people think it's like a diss if you're the person setting someone up. I'll tell you this right now. If I ask Apex how good Prime Kenny S is, he's going to tell me, oh, I was the guy in all the clips, I'm the guy jumping and getting shot so that he can trade and do the highlight clip. You know, it's part of the game, obviously. What do you think on this relationship with Cold Zero that people seem to connect so much with you two?
Well, it's, you got to understand, you know, like, I always understood my spot and who I was as a player and as a person as well. And, Code Zero was a star, you know, like, he always had this ego, this star ego that is important to have. He always had this confidence, and I was always the humble part, you know, like, I always, if I was the one that needed to give the bride, that's fair. Like, and let's also be fair, he had way more abilities than me at the time. Like, he was just insane. The guy would kill 40 bombs every match, every pug, every game we played, because outside of practice we used to play a lot of pugs, and when we played pugs, we would take the pugs very seriously, and he would drop 40 bombs and he would play like a major grand final. So I just needed to become what I became in a way, and I think that made a good duo. I don't think he was just good because of me, but I agree that I know how to play with him, and I know how to activate him in a way that he can play comfortable and not worrying about stuff he would worry playing with other players, or players that, you know, don't understand with who they are playing with, or where they are in a way. So I think that was a good match in terms of personality. Code Zero being this guy with, I mean, really big confidence, and you know, just a very I don't know the word, but aggressive in a good way, you know, like good energy and bringing the energy in. And I always used to be this calm guy, and you know, okay, that's all right, let's think, let's use our brain and stuff like that.
Along those lines, like what you're talking about, I think it's probably something people misunderstand, because you notice, especially fans who follow stats, they really do act like you could just take a player out of one team, put him in another, he'd have the same stats. But what I would explain to fans is, I've known actually a lot of very, very great Counter-Strike players where it's all about how comfortable they are. Like, there's some really amazing AWPers that if you just look at the crosshair, you think he hits every shot, but he only hits those shots, Taco, if, for example, he knows someone's covering his flank. He never has to worry about doing a turn at any point, you know, if he knows like someone else is covering this angle here, so he looks at his one angle and all he has to do is hit. Like, if you set the game up for them, then yeah, they're the best players you've ever seen. What does someone like Cold Zero need to be at his absolute peak, when we remember when he could just win every game like you're talking about? What things does he require in the game? What does he like to have his way? How do you help Cold Zero be the best Cold Zero can be?
Well, first, it has a lot to be with preparation. I was the one preparing our bomb sites, for example, and I would give him only the information he needed. Like, he didn't want to watch the demos, like, at the time. Like, he didn't want to. I don't want to know what fucking whatever is doing. I'm better than him, and I'm just gonna outplay him, and that's also fair. And I know a lot of players that think that way, and great players that think that way. I can even mention Fer. Fer was always like that. He never wanted to watch any demo or anyone. I mean, he never liked to do it. And I mean, Fer was really good at what he was doing at the time as well. So, but even though he didn't like to study the opponents and to know what they were doing and stuff like that, I really liked doing that, and I always did that. So I would come to him before the matches and I would say, Code, that's how they take mid or Inferno. Like, we always gonna see this Molotov and always gonna see this flashbang. If they do this, with 40 seconds of the round, they probably gonna do that and that. If they do that, they're gonna do that. And I mean, I would never, give a lot of details, and I would just give some, idea to him, and that's how he would feel comfortable, and he would come up with ideas, and then we would discuss the ideas, like, okay, if they take mid like that, we can use this one with smoke, and then after this round, because we use the smoke, then we do that, and after this round, we do that, and then we would always have had a game plan in our bomb sites, how we would approach this bomb site, and how would play the game. And I would be the one giving these information, I would be the one filling him with this information. So I feel like that it would help him a lot. And he used to tell me, like, oh, man, I really like that. It's really nice when you do that. And after that, playing with Code Zero in the game, like, we understood our roles really well. So I was the one jumping, and I had no problem doing that. And communication is really important to Code Zero. Communicating, timing, playing with confidence. Like, he was the one, like, tapping my table and saying, hey, man, come on. Like, good energy, let's go. We're going to win it. We're going to win this shit. Like, he was the one dropping me one AK-47 when I had when I had a one M4A4, and I was like, man, I'm headshotting everyone, but I can't kill them. I had like 15 assists in a game, and then he in the freeze time, he was like, okay, no problem now. If you can headshot them,
okay,
I give you the AK, and then the next round I get a 4K.
Okay,
be overpass. I never forget that. Never forgot that. I mean, he gave me the this confidence. So. He likes this kind of energy, and I feel like we had a lot of great energy together. So being able to keep up with this good energy, being able to communicate good, being able to make a preparation, and at some times just listening to him as well. At some times knowing how to make him shut up, like, hey, man, Code, hey, stop, too much, yeah, it's literally knowing how to deal with a star, and that's how I think he is. He is, and he was a big star, and I actually learned a lot from him.
Right. If people know the team that you came from, that you got to join Luminosity and have this great career from, was obviously the Games Academy, which is basically the now Temcom or people from before then. And so people will know those are the players that went on to be Immortals, Showtime, the Lucas and Henny, et cetera. There's a world when I look at this roster, like, if you hadn't have gotten the move to go to Luminosity, if this lineup just stayed, UF and X, the Twins, et cetera, this lineup could have been good, right? I mean, I feel like you could have had a career no matter what in CSGO. Like, wouldn't you? Because one of the things they always had a problem with in Immortals is they didn't have a tackle. When they had all the skilled players, they had loads of good riflers and AWPers, they never really had someone to do your sort of roles, though. Don't you think if you hadn't have joined up, you still would have made it anyway?
It's crazy to think that this lineup with me, FNX, Henny, Lucas, and Showtime at the time had CodeZera instead of Showtime. And LG stole.
Yeah.
It would become a pretty good lineup. Like, yeah. We were not good at the time because when I look back, I know right now, I know that I knew nothing about CS, like,
right.
And I learned a lot when I joined LG and when I got to play Tier 1 CS and talk to people and, you know, leave the real CS. So I learned a lot, but we were definitely we had a lot of potential. Like these guys, we could be a really strong lineup, and we were winning everything in Brazil before that. Even when Kid Stars, this fallen lineup with First, Steel, ZQK, even these guys, when they came to Brazil to play some online tournaments, they were leaving NA and playing the ESL Pro League season, whatever, online. And when they came back to Brazil, they played some online tournaments, and we actually beat them. And they were like, okay, like, we actually won. They didn't win the ESL Pro League, but they got a really good result at the time, like, against NA teams. And they came back to Brazil thinking, like, okay, we're going to just, you know, have fun and play in these tournaments and win some trophies. And then we actually beat them with CodeZera playing. And that's how they actually got to know me and CodeZera. And these times they actually, you know, we started to talk about us and, okay, these guys, okay, Taco, Code, and because we actually beat them plenty times before. So I think that this lineup could be really good, but it would have it would reach a limit where we couldn't progress anymore without the likes of Fallen, Fur, and people from LG, you know. We were really good. We had a lot of potential. We worked really hard. We breathed CS, and we would leave CS 24/7, but we still were just too young, and we knew nothing about CS, like T1 CS. We would just get destroyed about against a lot of teams, and probably break up the team in the future.
People have seen that famous picture where CodeZera is just like a kid and he's with, like, I think Fallen and Fur or something at some old LAN. Were you actually someone, when you were younger and you played, did you look up to people like Fallen? Did you already know the big players? Like, was it a big deal to get asked to join this team?
Not as a kid, but when I first came to CS and when I first got interested in competitive CS, I remember Fallen and FNX and Kogu, they were like, oh, okay, these guys are, you know, these guys are the shit. Like, they know CS. And I remember my mom, when I could talk to her about CS after many, many years, I remember that she used to tell me, you gotta be like Fallen. You gotta be like this okay. guy. I think he's really, I like the way he talks. I think he's really, he's a really good person. And even in his Valve major profile, I was just a Games Academy player, and they asked me that, and I say, one day someone told me that to become a good player, I need to be like Fallen or something like that. And I actually use him as a mirror for a lot of time of my career, and getting to play with him was definitely one of my goals when I got to real competitive CS. I really wanted to play with him and learn.
When you joined this team, one of the things, if people don't remember, I remember even before they had you guys, when they used to make like top 8 at the major, but they never used to win the best of 3, so they always lost in the quarterfinals. Even back then with like the flawed lineups, they were already a team that was really good at things like, if you 5v4, like play smart with the numbers advantage, or don't throw a kill away, you know, like this is obviously something in your era when they won the majors that everyone thought was like revolutionized Counter-Strike. Like, how do you play late round scenarios? How do you play if you're in a 2v2 or a 3v3? Were these things that like you learned early on in the team? Was it actually things that come from Fallen? Was it Fallen and Zeus? What was the mix? Like, how did this team level up? Because if people don't know, like, this actually was like a progression beyond even the other top teams. Even the top European teams didn't seem to have the same philosophy for how to play the game.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, we always had a good school in CS in Brazil. Like, we always had good players, even in the past. CS 1.6, of course, we didn't win many tournaments, and we were not a country that were famous about winning tournaments in CS. Of course, we had, I think, one or two tournaments that we won, and that's pretty much it. But in CS, in Brazil, CS was a huge thing, even though we didn't have, I mean, we had MIBR at the time, G3X and FNX and Kogu, even Gaules at the time, Ton. Ton was a really good sniper. I heard about him. I mean, we had these guys, and but CS was really huge in Brazil. Everyone played CS, you know? Everyone would go to a cyber cafe and would play CS, and that was a very Brazilian thing. I don't know, like... and I think because of that, well, most of what I know about CS, when I talk about the basics and I mean the very basics of the game, I learned from Fallen, FNX, and these guys. And these guys, they tell me that they learned from Ton, from Kogu, from these guys, Bit, Nak. I can mention a lot of names, and but I don't want to be unfair with someone. We have a lot of legends, Kiku. I mean, a lot of guys. So what I think is, these guys taught Fallen, FNX, and I was lucky to actually learn from FNX and Fallen as well. And I think that we had the basics. I understood the basics really fast, and I understood what playing CS with a team and how teamwork works really fast. I remember that I would come to our meetings, like in LG, when I just joined the team. I would just open my notes on my iPhone, and I would just write down everything people were criticizing me, you know, and I would work on that and really understand that, you know, because when you learn the basics, it's about understanding the basics. It's not, you know, when you understand, like, and at some point with that team, we were speaking the same language. Like, everyone were speaking the same language. We didn't need to explain any detail, or we already knew exactly what Fallen needed, exactly what FNX or Code on me or Fur needed at the exactly same time. And the way we learned it together, the way we learned to play CS, we the first tournament we played, we actually had zero practice, and was that DreamHack Winter where we got second place. We had zero practice. Train was our was my Insta Vito on Games Academy, so I never played B on Train. That's the map we played in the grand finals, and we won against Fnatic the first map. So we have zero practice, exactly zero practice. But what was important in that team, and now that I'm a bit older and more mature, I would say, what was important in that tournament was that when we got 16-0, we got back to the hotel, and that's what a good leader would do. And that's the kind of reference I want to have in my career, and that's what I actually bring with me in my career as well. When we came back from this 16-0, Fallen got his laptop, and he just sent a message on the WhatsApp group, and, hey guys, just come to my room, and And we went to his room, and everyone was, you know, in a good mood. Nobody was down or anything like that. And we were just talking CS, and we were like, okay, guys, it doesn't matter, right? Like 16-0, 16-14, we lost. Like, we, being honest, we expected to have some good rounds against Fnatic, but we didn't expect to win. And, I mean, we already had the you know, like, we wouldn't win. Like, we knew that it would be hard. So what we can do now? Focus on the next match, and we have NIP to play, and it's difficult. We are in Sweden. They are legends. Legends in Sweden as well. So it's going to be difficult, but let's just prepare, make a good preparation. That's what we can do. And then we went over some demos, and we had a really small preparation, like in terms of, okay, me and Cold, we're going to play Mirage, okay, Code's the catwalk guy, I'm the big guy. Okay, what are we going to do here? Okay, let's plan some setups and very simple stuff. And that was enough to win. Then the second game, we actually did the same thing, just simple stuff. And okay, that's all right. And that was against Envious. Actually, I'm changing the teams. The first game was against Envious,
right,
which was the former major champions, yeah, at the time. And second was against NIP. But both games was the same way. We just prepared. And I even remember that we were playing against Happy in Envious. And yeah. So after that, I remember that we went to the semifinals and we were, okay, that's awesome. I remember, I mean, our social medias were already exploding. Like, people in Brazil were, okay, that's the best we ever got in a CSGO tournament. That's insane. And we had TSM to play. I remember they were unbeatable on Overpass. And we had the information that we watched on the demo that Dupree, he liked to take short as T. And that's how at the time TSM liked to play on Overpass. They used to play around Dupree, taking that position and working really well in that position. And we found many ways, we planned many ways to punish him. And we won that game against TSM. They were like, I can't remember, but something like 15-2 or 15-0, 13-2, whatever on the map at the time. And we beat them on Overpass, a map that we never played before together, just planning simple stuff. Then we kept doing that the entire tournament, and we got second place. And then we came back to Germany, where we won. Actually, we would have to come back to NA, but DreamHack, they paid for us to stay a week in Germany, and we, of course, we agreed, and because we wanted to practice against the best teams, and in that bootcamp in Germany, we actually went over many demos, and Fallen brought down a lot of notes and stuff like that, and a lot of strategies and great stuff. And then we went to ESL Pro League in Burbank, and we played like very uncomfortable. The result was not terrible. We got like quarterfinals, but we felt very uncomfortable. We even had fights during the tournament, okay, like during matches, like Cold and Fallen, and they would disagree about stuff, and even Zeus, like, oh, you guys can't do that. And so that was very, very uncomfortable tournament for every one of us. And we came back to the hotel, and we went over the games, and we were one more time I was like taking my notes, you know, like writing down my notes. I didn't have many voice in the team at that time. But we were all feeling comfortable when we were like, okay, first tournament we played, we had a lot of freedom. We could just play our game and play around the basics. Now we come to a tournament and we have a lot of strategies. People are not playing comfortable anymore. We are not playing around the basics. We are playing around strategies. And okay, let's try playing with freedom now. Let's try playing around the basics, and then we implement things around the basics, you know. So we just played smart CS in a way, at least in our minds. We were just playing smart CS. Like, okay, I'm playing very aggressive on B this round, on overpass. I know that this second round there's a big chance they're gonna play aggressive here. So that's the kind of information we would expect everyone to have and give to Fallen in the beginning of the round. Like, everyone would be capable to have this kind of read and to feel the in-game leader with this information. So I just think that we, like I said, we understood CS really fast in the same way. We would speak the same language, and that's why pretty much we learned how to play CS, like around the basics that, in my opinion, were taught back in 2000
sure.
something.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Right, along these lines, as you say, when you joined this team, they immediately were in literally international finals. Like, every tournament at this point, like, semi-finals is basically the minimum expectation, right? Since you were the, like, listen, FNX already a legend. He already won a major at 1.6. Like, Zeus obviously was the coach they were bringing in because they didn't have a coach in their team at the time, right? Did you feel like you were under pressure when you joined this team? Like, was there the sense of, like, one, I mean, it did happen, people are going to flame me if I'm low on the scoreboard, and then two, if they don't win these tournaments, they might think I'm the one who has to go. Was there any of that? Was there any pressure?
I had the pressure on my shoulders the entire time since the first day I joined the team. Not only the international scene, I think that was all right. The Brazilian scene was really hard on me at the time. I came from a region in Brazil where people actually make fun of us for being from that region, you know? And I got a lot of hate at the time, even from my family, from old players, you know? Like, okay. I couldn't understand why, but I was just too young. But I was just too focused, you know? Like, nothing could take my focus, and I had a goal, and was pretty much like that. I was blind, you know, like, nothing can affect me. Okay, one day I'm gonna read something bad and I'm gonna explode, but the other day, I mean, after 1 hour, I'm gonna be back playing my deathmatch, and fuck you, haters, you know. I don't give a fuck, like, in a way. So that's my way of reacting to it, like, playing more and proving them wrong. Like, okay, if you think I'm bad, I'm going to win this fucking next match and this fucking next tournament, and I'm going to prove you that I'm not bad, you know? That was my way. I never cared or tried making excuse. But what I can say is that having the confidence of the team really helped me handle this stuff. Like, I had Fallen one time coming out and say, hey, guys, stop. Like, what you doing to him? With him, that's the best lineup we ever had in Brazil, and that's with him. Like, without him, I don't think it would be possible. Like, stop. And Fallen was the one doing that one time. So this kind of stuff. And I also had my teammates having my back, you know, like, okay, stop blaming him. Okay, he's definitely doing his job. Like, we like what he's doing. We are winning because we think he's important. And so that helped me a lot, you know. I think if I didn't have that, I don't know if I would deal with things the way I dealt. Like, I would be, I don't know, maybe I wouldn't accomplish what I accomplished in my career.
One of the things that's quite interesting is sometimes in English people say before you can win, you have to learn how to lose. And if you look at the career at this point in time, when you guys first got going, it's almost perfect. Like, if this was a movie, you would make it so that you don't actually win the tournament until you get to the major. You've got to come second a bunch of times. You got to lose to the other great teams, the ones that were always beating you on LAN, Na'Vi, Fnatic. These were always the big enemies that were always in the way. What do you think you guys actually learned being in finals and playing at, like, Katowice final, for example? What do you have to learn before you're ready to win, do you think?
That's funny in a way, because I remember one time, IM Katowice, we lost to Fnatic at the grand final, and we went home and we watched the demos, as we always would do, and we were like, okay, guys, they are just too good.
Okay, right. Nothing you could do.
let's not go hard on us. I mean, okay. Our time's going to come. Like, they are just playing too good right now. They it's not. There's no chance they're gonna keep that up. You know, they are just too insane. Everything they do works. Everything they do is the best thing possible. And you know, I mean, in the end, we got to this point, and we're like, okay, it's a matter of time now. I mean, it's a matter of time. And but before that, we lost a lot and a lot, like a lot, and. I think I can say for the, I can talk for the entire team. We just had fun and we didn't want that to end. You know, even though we were losing, we were happy. Like, we are getting there. Like, okay, that never happened before. We're getting close, and we all had this feeling. Like, yes, that's something good, I think. That's pretty much it.
When you think back on this MLG Columbus Major, was there any like magical things surrounding it? Like, did you have some sort of weird sense that it might go well for us, or like see the bracket, like maybe we can win? Was there any moment when you were actually thinking like maybe we're going to be the number one team, we can win this tournament?
No.
No.
When we went to MLG Columbus. We didn't expect to win, even though we were really close and beating Navi and beating good teams. We were not as confident to say that we would win that major. But we knew that we were strong. We knew that we had a good chance. But when it comes to major, I don't know. Like, I remember I had a lot of pressure. Like, because it was a major, it was a first major, and then people put a lot of pressure on me, and okay, that's a major now, that's when you gotta prove yourself. And I remember playing that tournament with a lot of pressure, and I did great, actually, even in terms of stats and stuff like that. But winning, I think we never thought that we would win the tournament until we actually won that. But we knew we were strong. That's okay. What I can say. That's what I can say. But winning was something. I think that's. I'm trying to understand. But I think that's because it was a dream, you know, and maybe this dream could feel very far away at the time, and maybe it wasn't. But I couldn't see that at the time.
Right.
But I couldn't imagine myself winning a CS:GO major. Maybe. Because of that, at the time, I didn't expect, but of course I was working hard for that.
Right, this semi-final you had at this major, the infamous one against Team Liquid, got a cold zero, did the jumping orb. So I've always wondered, right, if that like set off both sides of history, because obviously that was the first like really famous like Team Liquid chalk where they kept reaching map point and then they lost all the games. But also your team became known as one of the most clutch teams ever, right? In this game, I remember when I did my interview with Fallen, he told me an angle on that story I never even thought about, which is because obviously I was watching like the actual match itself, like with all the observer and you see the crazy move. But what everyone forgets who watched that game is you guys didn't know what Cold Zero was doing. He was just over the other side of the map, and then you just see a bunch of kills appear, right? In this game in general, this was the one where on the first map, they were up huge. It was like, what, 15-6 or something ridiculous. On the second game, they were also up huge on the same. Like, do you remember what happened in this game? Like, was this a game for real? It must have felt like they'd won already. Like, it didn't seem like it's possible to come back, right?
Yes, I mean, I was playing really bad the first map, Mirage. The reason Code Zero was playing B, was helping B, was because like I was not holding B.
Right, okay.
Because I was not playing good. And at some point of the game, I was like, okay, Code, can you play B? I'm going to play Catwalk because I'm playing bad. You know, I'm losing rounds there. And I don't know what to do. And he was, okay, I'm going to help B because he was a secondary helper at the time. And I wasn't. And... it was a good solution, you know, like when you don't know what to do, you just op.
Okay.
And then that's why I was playing Catwalk. And when he did the double jump thing, the only thing he said was he just looked at me. And I remember I can see this happening right now. And he looked at me and he was like, "You have no idea what I did.
Right.
You have no idea. I can't explain. You're going to see it after. You have no idea."
Okay.
And I was, okay. Nice, man. Okay, let's do it. And after that, it actually gave us a good energy, you know? Like, and we just kept going and we actually paused the game and we created a setup that we use until nowadays. We call anti-liquid, where we play really strong on B, but we are also playing strong catwalk, helping the connector guy with two guys catwalk and one guy B. I mean, we call that anti-liquid because we created like in the middle of the game,
right?
And that's how we dealt with what they were doing at the time, because our city sides, we played heavily. My team really trust me, like, because they really liked me, like, to leave me alone, like, in my bomb site. So most of the times I would be by myself, you know, like, be on train, I would be by myself, like, be on Mirage, I would be by myself. And what Liquid was doing, they were taking mid, and they were faking some splits, and they would explode B, because they had an analysis, and I knew that, because when I joined them, they told me.
Oh, right.
They analyzed the game, and they were like, okay, Taco is always alone B, so you're going to explore that. And then we, mid-game, we created this anti-liquid setup, and we came up with this idea. And that's actually why, as well, Kozira was playing B. And on cash, it was way more difficult than Mirage. Mirage was not an insane comeback, even though it was insane, but it was not, oh my god. It was city side, Mirage, 15-11.
Sure.
That's 9, I guess. That's not, I mean, insane.
Okay.
That could happen, but 15-6.
That's pretty wild.
Then that's crazy. And one of the things that I remember, what made us play better and with more confidence, was the fact that at some point, they started to run, you know, like they were just running on the map. And I remember us communicating, like, we're not going to lose to that. Like, what the fuck they are doing? Like, guys, okay, we're going to come back. And at some point it was 15-10, and we were like, okay, round by round, we did that on Mirage, we're going to do that again, and round by round. And then I bought a fucking auto sniper, and I killed everyone. I got like 36 bombs in the end of the map, and playing with the auto sniper, and we got some insane clutch. So I think they gave us that. They filled us with the confidence we needed at that match. And that was actually insane. Like, the feeling after the match, I remember coming back to the hotel and opening my laptop. I was in the room with Cold and Fur, and I was like, guys, we are in the major fucking finals. Can you believe that? We're going to have this coin. And then I was open the trophy, you know, like the one Valve gives you when you reach we're going to have this coin already. Holy fuck, that's insane. And we were really happy after this game, and feeling really, you know, like, calm and holy, that's just a great feeling. That actually, when I stopped to think about that actually helped us a lot.
Right. When you guys reached the final, people won't know this detail because everyone remembers information afterwards. So now everyone knows this story that supposedly Guardian already had like a hand injury and he had to put sensitivity up and all this chat. But at the time, no one knew that. Like, in this match, I remember I was covering this game. That wasn't information that was known at the time. That was the story that someone said afterwards. And at the time, they'd just beaten TSM. It was Astralis at that time, who was one of the top teams. Like, and if people remember, at the time, the map pool of Na'Vi and the map pool of Luminosity is basically the same map pool. Like, in the final, I remember the three maps were like the best maps for both teams. So on paper, it actually looked like it was going to be like the best final ever. It looked like the first map even was like a big thriller over time, and then you guys just won easily on the second map. But what do you remember about this final? Like, coming into it, they were one of the other like enemies that was always in the way of your team from winning. Were you nervous for the final? What were you expecting it to be like? Do you think it was going to be like a super epic game?
We expected it to be a super hard game because before the major, we actually had some epic games against Na'Vi, And before that, they even had to use a boost that they were saving to the major.
Yes. Kind of eats them on, yeah.
And look how things are. We played against them on the major, and the second map was overpass. They could have saved.
True. Yeah,
this
true.
Boost. But yeah, that was crazy. But what I remember is that when we came to the stage, there were like big pictures of us, like behind us. And we all turned the chairs. We didn't plan to do that. We just all turned the chairs, and we were just looking at the pictures and talking about ourselves. Like, oh, I look like that. Oh, look at you. Look, and doing that. And that at the time, at least, that gave me a lot of that gave me a comfortable feeling. You know, like we were just chilling and we were just calm and talking about random things. We were not nervous at all. When the match started, I felt really nervous, not only me, but the entire team. Like, communication was low. People were, you know, like, having a hard time to communicate because they were nervous. But when we got some rounds, we kept the ball rolling, and communication started to come back. But we were not as confident. We were not actually playing really, really good. And that's when Cold and Zeus came with an idea. We paused the game and we were trying to find solutions. And Zeus and Cold, he said something like, they are doing that and that and that. And Zeus, with that information, he planned something for the three rounds that we had in the overtime. And this small game plan that we had actually gave us the game at the time. And that gave us a lot of confidence winning the first map. We were like, okay, if we were nervous and still we won the map, let's give it all now on overpass. That's already gone. No reason to feel nervous. And we were just, you know, honest about being nervous, and we feel that you know when the team is nervous, you know when the communication is not as good as it should be. And for the second map, we were just, okay, now is the time we show up, you know, let's do this. And then Fallen was just destroying everyone. I was getting my kills. B bomb site was closed. A bomb site was insanely good. We had a strong city side, won the T-side pistol. And after the T-side pistol, we were already, you know, not celebrating, but we knew that we won. They were not playing well. You can, at that time as well, Navi was a team that, when things were not going well, they used to go even low and low during the match. They had this at the time, at least. So when we got the 14-2, we already knew that we would win. So, and that's also a feeling that I remember, like even playing the last round, like the clutch, the communication. I still have these kind of things in my mind because I was the one winning the. look at how Destiny is. I was the one winning the 2-1 clutch to get the first major for us.
It obviously wasn't that long since you'd even joined this team. Like you were talking about back at the DreamHack Winter, that was only in November, if people know, when you started and you had the 0-16 because you guys just got off the plane with the brand new lineup. Isn't it crazy to think it goes from 0-16 to like, what, 4 or 5 months later, you're the world champions? There's no way you could have imagined that when you joined the team, right?
No, but when we built this team, I remember as well, we went outside of the house. They just came back. LG just came back from IM San Jose, and they—that's when they removed both Knack and Steel from the team, and that's when they also called me to ask me if I wanted to join with FNX and Zeus. And but before that, actually after this call, when they came to California, we went outside of the house, and the talk was literally, we are building this team to be top 4 in the world. We think we can do that. We have the best Brazilian players we could ask for. We believe everyone that is, we have the best coach, we have the best in-game leader in Brazil, we have the best upper in Brazil, we have the best anti-fragger, we have the best guy who's gonna swallow bomb for us and is gonna be the best one that does that in Brazil. We have Fur, who is just insane, we have CodeZero, which is a star. Okay, we have what it takes, let's do it now, let's get to work. And that's the first call, that's the first talk we had. So, I actually expected us to be a strong team. I believe that we could be a strong team, because actually also when CodeZero went to Europe for the first time for a boot camp with LG, he would send all the screenshots from practice. He would send me all the screenshots after the day. We would just join TeamSpeak and, hey man, how is it? How was it playing against VP, and how was it playing against Pasha, and I mean these guys, and he would, oh, it's not that hard. It's not as hard as we thought it would be. You know, I'm doing great. And he would send me the screenshots and getting a lot of kills. And that's when I also even teams in Europe started saying, like, who is this guy? Like, who is CodeZero? And he was playing super well. So I could say that I didn't expect us to become as good as we became in a short period of time. But I can say that I truly believed that we could become super good as a team, because I think we, at the time as well, I always thought that we had all the pieces needed to be super good.
What was the style of how you guys would practice? Because I remember at the time when this team started living together at the end of 2015 in LA with all the house set up, this was when all the American pros used to use that as the excuse all the time. They were like, oh, the practice scene here is terrible. You know, there's only like two or three teams and you just play them and then all the other teams are really bad. What was the style of how you can practice in theory the inferior region but then become the best in the world? Was there a special approach, do you think, to what you guys were doing compared to just playing scrims?
I don't think we had a specific approach in terms of team, but we only had Counter-Strike, you know? Like, I would just sleep and eat, and shower, and that's pretty much it. I would not do anything else, if not playing Counter-Strike, and even though we had a small room and stuff like that, didn't stop me, because as I said, I just went through so much shit already, like, to get there, like, nothing's gonna stop me now. Like, okay, I'm already where I wanted to be. Now I'm gonna get to work. So it was just a matter of the players of the team having the right mindset and putting a lot of hours. And me and Code, we used to share the same bed, so, and not only the same bed to sleep, but also the same bone sites. So what do you think we talk when we go to bed? Like, we talk about CS. We talk about how we would hold B on Mirage. We talk how this smoke is very effective. We talk how this guy outplayed me today on practice. We even fight sometimes talking about CS, me and Code. Like, we were so close that we would even fight. Like, man, how can you be so dumb? This guy did that with this flashbang, and then I would, you know, say something back. And so, but we were just kind of striking. And that's just mindset. The first tournament that we played as well, I brought my laptop on the plane, but I have never traveled to Europe before, and I was never used to traveling and international flights. And I brought my laptop and I opened it and I was like, okay, I'm super smart, guys. I'm going to open CS now and we're going to see the maps. And they were like, okay, but there's no internet on the flight. How are you going to log in on Steam, you dumb? I didn't prepare, you know. I know that you can go offline, and
sure,
but I didn't prepare. I just thought that I was being super smart. But I opened the paint and I was sitting next to CodeZero, and we started drawing the bomb sites and talking about the bomb sites and preparing. So that was just the mindset we had, you know, like, we just don't care. Like, we're gonna do our job, and that's what we like to do.
Right, one incident that I'm not bringing up just for the sake of drama, there's a real reason behind it, was if people remember, at the time, he wasn't the GOAT. He was just a Ukrainian guy who was playing in North America. When Simple came and he was playing like the ESEA Pugs or whatever, and you guys had that famous battle with him where on cash, there was a big drama ball after this. I feel like that sort of started you guys off on a bad foot just with like the NA crowd, because at the time, if you remember, part of it was like, it's true, people were also hating on Simple and Freakazoid and all the rest, but the problem was when you guys wrote all that stuff that basically in your language or your culture is like how do you describe it? It's like a saying, basically. People just took it literally, right? Like, I remember, I think Fur wrote the one where he was like, you know, you'd have to bite the bullet or whatever. And people were like, holy shit, they're going to shoot them. Like, but obviously this wasn't at all what people meant. Like, I feel like people took this all really far. In general, do you feel misunderstood by like American English language speaking fans? Do they get who Taco is, do you think?
No, not even close. But I also understand that I was really immature at many years of my career, and I don't want to take anything from me as well. Like, I was wrong in a lot of stuff I did. But definitely people don't know me as I wanted them to know me, you know? It's difficult sometimes. And at that time with Simple, I know, I mean, there's no bad blood. I even talk about it nowadays, and even with him, and even in interviews. And I find it really funny nowadays. And because at the time I was just so immature, and me and him,
sure,
we were just too childish. when I look back, I was just stupid. And people don't know exactly the history, because Simple, he was being mean to a lot of players in the FPL.
He's trash talking and, a lot, right?
Yes, and we were like talking on the TeamSpeak, and we had some players on the room, and they were like, yeah, Simple, he cannot do that. Who do he think he is? And, you know, people were kind of getting mad. And I was the one that, you know, okay. I'm going to teach him a lesson. And then when he knifed me in game, I wanted to banter him, and I wanted to make him mad, and then that's when the "Are you mad? Because I'm not" came, and all
yes,
this.
Yes, there you go.
That's how it started, and we came to Twitter, but it only took a month, and then we met online after that Liquid and LG match. And then we shake hands and we talked, and I mean, we were just really childish. We never took it personally in any way. I never wanted to fight Simple on LAN or anything like that. I would never do that as well to any player or to anyone. So yeah, I was just too childish. Nowadays I find it funny, and I don't regret. I think that's part of, I mean, that's part of, you know, who I am, and that's part of things, you know. At least people had something to laugh about at the time.
True. Right, when it came to the second major, the ESL Cologne one, a question I have is this. Because at the time, your team had, like, won the Pro League, which is super epic, and you won the DreamHack Austin, that smaller NA one. What people forget is this, Tackle. They forget that right before Cologne was that ECS event where the G2 lineup beat you and they actually rocked you in the final, right? When you came to this major, ESL One Cologne, right, I know for sure if SK didn't win this event, all the haters would be like, oh, it was just a fluke, the other one. It's just because of whatever guard. So they'd have every excuse in the book. Oh, you lost to CCC, they weren't really the best. It would have been easy. Like, it's why they always say if you're a champion, you've got to like repeat and prove it. You've got to like show it wasn't a fluke, right? Was there a lot of pressure on this major? Did you guys actually think you were number one? Did you not worry about losing the G2 at ECS? Do you still think you were going to win the major?
Can you imagine this major we never thought about losing? I remember as well, and Semler, he can tell you that if you ask him. I was with my mom at the hotel, and she doesn't speak English, and Samla was like, oh, nice to meet ya. And he was very nice to my mom, and he was like, okay, Taco, who do you think's gonna win the major? Do you think you guys gonna do it again? And I was like, Samla. And then I actually thought about it, you know, I was I had an honest thought, like, okay, who's going to win the major? And then what came in my mind was us. Like, oh, we're going to win the major. Like, there's no chance we lose this major. Because the boot camp we had was insane. I think we had, like, 150 maps, and we won, like, 135 of
okay.
them.
Okay, all right.
I know it's just practice. It doesn't count. It doesn't matter. But you know when you are ready. And we knew we were ready. And that's why... in this moment the practice matters, and you know, like the fact that we won 135 out of 50 maps matters, because we knew that we would win the major. Like, we were just ready. I was playing insanely good. I had an insane tournament as well, but on practice I was already playing insanely good. I was hitting insane shots even during the major. I remember like having some insane shots and fallen typing on the chat, like, Taco, what the fuck, like, what you doing, like, that's insane. So I was just too on fire, and I had a lot of confidence inside of me. I had a lot of confidence inside my team, and nothing could stop us that major. Nothing could stop us. We had the group of death, whatever yeah. people say, and we were just... Okay, that's the... I remember before the major, I posted a picture with Code Zero, and the caption of the picture was, they say it's the group of death, but the death, it's for them, not for us. We're going to kill them. Like, we're going to win against them. And it was not, you know, just to make fun of the situation. I really mean that, like... They are fucked. We're going to destroy them. They are really unlucky that they got SK in their group, because we are just on fire. We had an insane boot camp. So we played a lot against Flipside on that boot camp as well.
Oh, okay.
I remember that with the Shara, Markelov, Blade lineup. We played a lot against them. I think even I'm not sure if Electronic was there, but we played a lot against them, and they could tell you how insane we were probably.
Right. One thing about this major was the only team that properly tested you was Virtus Pro in the semis. And in fact, a stat that a lot of people don't know is at the two majors you guys won, the only team to win a map against you was Virtus Pro. It was the same in Columbus. Right. I noticed throughout all of CS history when these two lineups existed, it was always amazing games. Like, people will know later on, they had amazing matchups as well with your squad. What was it about Virtus Pro that made the matches so special?
These guys, they just had the basics as well. They were like, they were this kind of team that you know what they do, but you still lose. Like, they right. do differently. They're going to change one thing that, you know, you're going to miss, and they're going to win the round, and they're going to make things difficult. They're not going to give up. And like I told you, like, we had... At that time, Navi, who used to go down and down and down when they were losing, but VP, they would never go down. Like, we would 15-0 them. That never happened, but we would, like, destroy them on a side of the map, and they would come back, and they would keep playing and playing, and they were just insane for us. And I think the reason of that was the style of CS they used to play was really basic CS as well. They used to respect these basics, and they used to play around it as well when they had a lot of players. Snacks was so fucking difficult to play against, so unpredictable to play against this guy, and that would definitely make a difference for them. The experience of Taz and Pasha and all these guys, it's also just insane. Even when Pasha was not hitting great shots, I think he was still important for that team, like the way he moved and the stuff he was doing in game. So they were really really difficult team for us, really really hard opponent to face.
I always thought the silliest thing about that major was, in theory, the major final should be the scariest game, the hardest game. But because Team Liquid made it there, but then when they got there, they looked like they just got really nervous, mate. Like, this looked like one of the easiest matches you must have played. Like, I don't think they ever thought they were ever going to win this game. Did you get the sense? Do you think they choked in the final?
I don't want to disrespect them, but we kind of got happy, like, when they won against Fnatic. We were like, okay, like... I'm not gonna lie. If I tell you that I want to play, if when I'm watching the game I want to play against the hardest opponent, no fucking way. Give me the easiest one, and I want to destroy him. If you can't destroy him, I'm gonna destroy him. That's it. If I want to play against the, if I have to play against the best as well, that's great. I'm gonna destroy them. I'm gonna try my best as well. So I don't care. But when we were watching Liquid and Fnatic, we actually got happy. Like, we were okay, man. Liquid won against Fnatic, and not only because of Liquid. Liquid was a great team at the time, and they were in a good moment. But because of Fnatic, they were so difficult to play against, at least for us. Of course, they were struggling at the time. They were not as good as before, but still was a hard match for us. So when we got Liquid, I can say that we thought it would be easy because it's still a domestic matchup. We used to play and practice against them a lot.
Sure.
So I can say it was easy, and that train map, the first map, could be really diff could be could have been really difficult for us. Because Code Zero won some clutches, and I won some clutches as well in the beginning of the game that made the T side very easy for us. If it was not for that, I think they would have a chance. But after we got the rounds we got, the key rounds we got, they had no, they had no spirit to come back. Like, they had no stamina, I guess. They ran out gas from the tournament, not in that match, but it felt like from the tournament.
The only thing is, though, if this was a movie, it should have been Fnatic. Because if people don't know, the start of the time was Fnatic had always beaten this team and this court online every time. And as you say, they weren't quite the best. They were still very good. It would have been, in some ways, for the story, more perfect to have beaten Fnatic and win a major, right?
Yeah, that we even said that we won against Fnatic afterwards sometimes, and we actually broke that thing. But in 2016 we had this feeling, okay, we won and we are the best, but we never beat Fnatic. We wanted to beat them, and it would definitely be way better, like, for our history, if we got to play against Fnatic in a major grand finals again. I don't want
No,
to
no.
say anything, to take anything back against Liquid. I mean, no way I would do that. And they deserve to be in that final, and they played that tournament very, very great. Even Simpo in the semifinals doing that clutch, they just destroyed Fnatic. They had a great team, great players as well. So, well, all the props to them. But I agree that playing a major grand finals against Fnatic would be special for us.
I've been pleasantly surprised during the time I've had my Patreon and my Patreon community, the Skrilluminati, by both the financial support they've provided and the moral support. And so this video was kindly supported and made possible by Starlust, Theo Buenzelli, Ahmed Haju, Matt Pugnaccio Racula, Toucan, Jensen Go, Animosity, Tobias Bernasconi, Bot Pounder 420, Yerka 86, Tosh, and as always, you know it, a special thanks goes out to my main man, Jerky's Minion. Would you like to ask a question in one of those AMAs where I tend to go pretty in depth? Sometimes they even spin out into their own videos. Do you want teasers to find out who the upcoming guests are for the myriad of interviews that I do across esports? Maybe you want to suggest a topic or a guest? We have a channel on my Discord where you can do that if you're at the right tier. And of course, you could potentially take part in one of those lengthy esports discussions with me about whatever is on your mind in the scene. Well, if any of those perks sound tantalizing, put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today via the Patreon link in the description box below.